Now tonight, as a congregation, we have been remembering those of our armed forces and security forces who have sacrificed their life for our liberties today. We think of those that have been killed in two world wars and other international conflicts. We remember also those that have been killed by terrorists here in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. This year in particular is the 35th anniversary of the Enniskillen Poppy Day massacre, when the lives of 12 innocent civilians were taken from them very suddenly, and 68 people were seriously injured in that bombing. We also do not forget grieving families and loved ones left behind. Indeed, we think of many who have been injured physically and emotionally, who carry trauma with them to this very day. And indeed, we pray that those who mourn, that they will be comforted, and that those who have been injured, that they will know that the strength and the touch of God, that they will know God's healing hand upon them, that each one who mourns and those who bear injury will know God's grace, God's help, God's strength, and God's blessing day by day in their life. Now, 2022 is a year that also marks the 40th anniversary of the Falklands War in 1982. The Falkland Islands came really to the limelight on the 2nd of April 1982, when they were invaded by Argentinian forces. Indeed, the vastly outnumbered company of 57 British soldiers, they were forced to surrender. And thus began the Falklands War conflict. Yes, British forces then fought to regain the islands. And 10 weeks later, on the 14th of June 1982, the Argentine forces surrendered. Now, whenever we think of the Falklands War and all that it entailed, we are reminded of some very important gospel lessons. And it's for that reason in particular that I want us to consider these words in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, where it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, while He was here on earth. And He uttered these words after a man by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a publican, a tax collector, after he became a Christian, after he was saved from his sin and converted by God's grace to Christ. "And my justice," the British forces rescued the Falkland Islands from the grasp of Argentina in 1982. So these words here in Luke chapter 19 and the verse number 10, they really tell us of Christ's rescue mission here on earth to save poor, lost, hell-deserving, guilty sinners like you and I. And dear people, whenever we think of these words in the context of the gospel, indeed in the context also of the Falklands War, the three important things I want to leave with you tonight in regard to this verse. Notice, first of all, here with me, the distance that was traveled. In the liberation of the Falkland Islands, the British task force, they had to travel a great distance. The distance from the United Kingdom to the Falkland Islands is approximately 8,064 miles. A normal aeroplane flight takes up to 15 hours. Indeed, to travel by boat is a journey of several weeks. So a great journey had to be taken to rescue the Falkland Islands from the Argentinian forces at that time. And by the way, the Falkland Islands were part of British territories for some 200 years prior to this. In the task force involved, there were 127 ships. There were 47 Harrier jets and other long-range bombers as well involved. And the personnel involved in that great task force amounted to some 30,000 people. And they had to travel a great distance down to the southern hemisphere to engage in this rescue mission of the islands from the hands of the Argentinian forces at that particular time. And also, dear people, whenever we think of God's plan to rescue and to save sinners, it also meant the Lord Jesus Christ traveling a great distance as well. You see, in our verse here tonight, it speaks of the Lord Jesus, and it says, "For the Son of Man has come." And that speaks to you and I of Christ's incarnation. It speaks to you and I of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. In coming to this earth, to this world, He left behind the glory. He left behind the splendor of heaven. The Bible speaks to you and I of the Lord Jesus Christ and says in Philippians chapter 2 and the verse number 7, "But He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man." And by His humiliation here on earth, it meant the Lord Jesus being miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost, and by Him being born in Bethlehem. In Galatians chapter 4, in the verse number 4, it says there of Christ, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth a Son made of a woman, made under the law." And being the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was one who was without sin. Unlike you and I, unlike all the rest of mankind. The Bible teaches that you and I, we have sinned against God in thought, in word, and in deed. The Bible declares there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what is sin? It is the breaking of God's holy law, God's commandments. And dear people, sin is an awful thing. It's an awful disease of the human heart. My sin brings great grief and great harm to ourselves. Sin brings great grief and great harm to others. Tonight is Remembrance Sunday, and we remember the wars and the conflicts of a bygone time. And you think of all the wars and the battles that have been fought in history since the beginning of time. You think of the ongoing war in Ukraine at this present time. Think of the troubles here in Northern Ireland. And what was the cause of it all? It was sin in the heart of man, sin in the heart of mankind. Sin is the cause of all the trouble and turmoil, and all the wars and battles that have been fought in this world since the very dawn of time. My sin is something that grieves God, God who is holy, and sin that separates man from God. It bars our fellowship with God. And by our sin, it condemns us each one to a lost eternity in hell itself, that place of eternal punishment for sin after this world, this scene of time, because the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But dear people, this is not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was flawless. He did no sin. The Bible says He went about doing good. The Bible says He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And by the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, He is to be our example in all things. He is that perfect example. But over and above that, dear people, the chief purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in coming to this world was to rescue us from our sins, was to rescue us from the awful ruin and the plight of our sin. The Bible says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." He came to defeat sin. He came to deliver us from our sins. You remember the words of John the Baptist when he saw Christ coming, ministering here on earth. He said of Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He came to take away sin, to defeat sin, to liberate us from the awful dominion and penalty of our sins. Yes, just as the British task force went to rescue the Falkland Islands, and to rescue them from the hands of the Argentinian forces at that time, so Christ left heaven's glory. And so He came into this world to save us from the awful ruin and burden and penalty of our sin. This is what Christ is saying when he says in this verse about himself, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You remember the words of the angel to Joseph, words that we often hear read at Christmas time. And it speaks of the whole purpose of Christ coming into this world. And the angel spoke to Joseph and said of Christ, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now the hymn writer speaks of this same great truth when they spoke of Christ. And said of Christ, "Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim." Hallelujah. What a Savior. Oh, the distance that was traveled. Christ came down from heaven's glory to this world to rescue us, to save us from our sins. Not only do we see here the distance that was traveled, but secondly, tonight I want you to notice the sacrifice that was made, the sacrifice that was made. You see, the liberation of the Falkland Islands, it meant great sacrifice. It meant tremendous sacrifice. 255 British military personnel and 3 civilians died in that conflict. 2 Victoria Crosses were posthumously awarded to Lieutenant Colonel Jones and Sergeant McKay, both of the parachute regiment. In the retaking of those islands in 1982, there were 17 major battles that had to be fought. And the bloodiest of those battles was that at Mount Longdon between the 11th and the 12th of June. That battle, yes, it involved both long range and hand-to-hand combat in the conflict. 23 British military were killed and some 60 were injured in that battle. Yes, we can say tonight that much blood was shed during the Falklands War and the Falklands campaign. And you know, the sacrifice of the Falklands campaign, it reminds us of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to save sinners. And Christ, he speaks to us of that sacrifice in Matthew chapter 26 and the verse number 28. When he says in that verse, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." You see, in coming to this world, Christ was to die upon the cross. He came to be a sacrifice for sinners. He shed his blood upon the cross. And he provided an atonement for our sins. An atonement really means a covering for our sins before God. The Bible speaks of Christ in that great chapter of Isaiah 53 and says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Why, he came to be a sacrifice for sinners upon the cross. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "Being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Yes, on the cross of Calvary, he was wounded by Roman soldiers when they put the spikes into his hands, into his feet. When his side was pierced with a spear, and his brow was pierced with a crown of cruel eastern thorns. But also during 3 hours of darkness from midday to 3 in the afternoon, God the Father in heaven poured out his wrath upon Christ. That is why Christ cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Indeed, as a substitute for all of his people, he endured the wrath of God that such rightly deserve for their sins." And by that sacrifice, he provided a way. He made a way. He opened up a way of salvation for sinners. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "The Son of Man, he came to give his life a ransom for many."
And people tonight, as we think of Christ, as we think of a sacrifice, realize this, this was a sacrifice that was planned out of God's love for you and for me. Because the Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was planned out of God's love. It was a sacrifice that was fulfilled out of Christ's love for us. Many of our war memorials across the land, across the nation, as you look at them and read the words that are inscribed on them, you'll often also read the words of John's Gospel, chapter 15, and the verse number 13. And that verse says, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And it reminds us, yes, of those out of love for country and family and loved ones, no doubt, who laid down their life, who paid the supreme sacrifice. But those words also remind you and I of that greatest token of love of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this world and he died for us upon the cross. The hymn writer says, God loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. People, can I say to you tonight, there's no other sacrifice apart from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone that can atone for our sins. This is because Christ was sinless, and his sacrifice was such that it satisfied the justice of God. Speaking of that very same sacrifice, the Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man offered one sacrifice for sin forever. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Peter speaking to the Jews, those people who were religious in themselves about Christ, he said of Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And he was reminding them that only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone could save and could atone for their sins. And that's how it is with you and I tonight. No matter who we are, no matter what our background is, where we come from, there's only one sacrifice that can save you and I from our sins. There is only one sacrifice that can atone for our sins before God. And that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who suffered and bled and died upon the cross, who cried out on the cross, it is finished. Oh, we see the distance that was traveled, the sacrifice that was made. Notice one final thought in connection with our text this evening. Notice the victory that was gained, the victory that was gained. You see, by the sacrifice of many, the British forces, they liberated the Falkland Islands from Argentina 10 weeks after they were invaded, and all hostility ceased at that time. Yes, the islands were returned to British control and remain part of United Kingdom to this day. And the islanders, those who live in the island, have full British citizenship. Indeed, the date of the 14th of June, whenever the war ended, it is now a public holiday on the islands. Every year in this date, there's a Thanksgiving service, there's a wreath-laying service, along with a military parade commemorating and reminding the islanders of the sacrifice that was given for their freedom and their liberation of the islands at that particular time. And you know, the victory of the Falklands War, it serves really as a reminder also to you and I of the victory that there is for all who repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. What does that victory mean? What does that victory entail? It means the forgiveness, the pardon of all of our sins. The psalmist David, he knew that victory in his own life. And Psalm 103, in the verses 2 and 3 of that psalm, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul,
who forgiveth all thine iniquities. David could rejoice in the forgiveness of all of his sins. It means also reconciliation and peace with God. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. This victory also entails the promise of the Lord's presence when we trust him. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Christ is described to those who trust him as a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. This victory also entails power and grace to live the Christian life and to serve the Lord. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become new." Those of you who have served in our forces, in our security forces, and the forces of the Crown, my, your life has been one of service, service to your community, service to your country, service to our late Queen, and now service also to our present monarch, King Charles III. And that reminds us, when we trust the Lord with liberty to serve the Lord, he who is King of kings and he who is Lord of lords. My Paul speaks of that very fact in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, when he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God," which is your reasonable service. And then this victory also means being brought into God's family, knowing God as our Heavenly Father to provide for us, to care for us. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And then ultimately and finally, that this victory means the promise of heaven, the promise of glory of being saved from a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And what a place heaven is. The Bible shows you and I and tells us about heaven. In heaven there is no more sin. In heaven there is no sickness, there is no death. In heaven there are no wars. It's a place of everlasting peace. It's a place of everlasting rest, everlasting life, everlasting fellowship with Christ and his people. The hymn writer says, "Oh, what it is to be there in heaven." And my, we're told something about heaven over in the book of the Revelation, in the chapter number 21. And this is what John says to us about heaven in verse number 4. He says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And there shall be no more curse." The curse of sin has caused trouble and heartbreak and sorrow for generations since the beginning of time in this world. But in heaven, there'll be no more curse, no more death, no more sin. Place of everlasting peace, of everlasting rest. The hymn writer John Newton says, "When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we had first begun." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says, "Our Savior Jesus Christ hath abolished death, and he hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Remember the words of Christ when his friend Lazarus died, when he went to the home to comfort Mary and Martha. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Praise God. God gives everlasting life, the assurance of a home in heaven, to all who partake of his salvation. Yes, to liberate the Falkland Islands, our forces, they had to go and they had to fight there. Dear friend, to receive God's salvation and the blessings of his salvation in your life, then by faith alone, as a repentant sinner, you must go to Christ. And in going to Christ, you confess your sins to Him. Thank Him for dying for you upon the cross. And by faith alone, ask Him, trust Him to save you from your sin and to become your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The great promise of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. He says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Dear friend, this evening, can I say that salvation is a matter not to put off? It's a matter that you should not leave to another time. You think of the British task force that had to make haste to retake the Falkland Islands. Winter was setting in. It was the heart of their winter coming in. No doubt, the longer they delayed, it would have given the Argentine forces more time to settle in and to dig in, as it were, in the islands. And they made haste to retake the Falkland Islands. In fact, at that time, the American Navy said it was something that could not be done. But the British task force went with haste and they retake the islands from the Argentine forces. And friend, can I say you must make haste to Christ, because there is danger and there's death and delay. You see, if you die in your sin unsaved, all hope of salvation for you will be gone and gone forever. That is why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. That is why the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Dear friend, I encourage you tonight to be wise, to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And praise God, you'll be ready to die. You'll be ready for heaven. You'll be ready for that time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again in power and in great glory. Our verse says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, if you don't know Him tonight as Savior, may you trust Him. Embrace Him by faith as your Savior. And praise God, when you do know Him and trust Him as Savior, you can rest upon Him and depend upon His grace and His strength to help you in every time of need. God is our refuge and strength, says the psalmist. Christ is that refuge for our souls, not only for time, but for all of eternity. May God bless His word tonight to every heart and soul for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to turn again in our order of service to our final hymn this evening, a very well-known hymn, hymn number 279 in our own hymn book. And during the singing of that hymn, we'll return the standards to the color party. And then immediately after the hymn, we'll have the closing prayer and benediction, give thanks for the food. And then we'll ask you also just to remain standing for the singing of the national anthem, and then to continue to remain standing after the singing of the national anthem when the standards are removed from the church building. And immediately after that, supper will be served. Thank you. Let us stand as we sing. standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us here this evening. We thank Thee for Thy precious word, Thy truth, blessed to our hearts, blessed to our souls. We thank that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, our prayer is for each and every soul in this gathering and all who may be listening in online, that they will know what it is to embrace Christ, to trust Him, to that joy of sins forgiven, that blessed assurance of a home in heaven, and that all is well with their soul for time and for all of eternity. Father, we thank that there's a welcome with Christ at the cross, and that Christ has promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Bless your word to this end. Help all who know and love thee as Savior to lean upon thee and depend upon thee day by day. May we know thy grace and thy help in all the storms and trials of life, to live for thee and to serve thee and to live for thine honor and for thy glory. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for the food that has been provided. Bless the hands that have prepared it. Bless our fellowship later on around a cup of tea. And then after, Lord, take us to our homes in safety. And grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide and remain with each one this night and always.